Welcome back. You're listening to Children's Health Checkup, where we answer parents' most common questions about raising healthy and happy kids. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Today, we're talking about athletes and eating disorders. We talk about why athletes develop them, how we can prevent them, and some common signs parents can watch out for. Joining us for this conversation today are our experts, Dr. Andrew McGarahan, a pediatric psychologist at Children's Health, and Brittany Worley, a performance dietitian with Children's Health Andrews Institute Sports Performance, powered by Exos. Dr. McGarahan, start us off here. What are the most common eating disorders in athletes?
Most common eating disorders athletes would be anorexia nervosa and bulimia nervosa. You can also have athletes that struggle with binge eating disorder. And you could have some athletes that also have the avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. But the most common, probably anorexia and bulimia, also sports specific, where there may be pressures to have a certain body type, a lot of pressures to be at a certain weight because of the sport.
So, Brittany, what are the effects of these eating disorders in athletes?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think a lot of times coaches and parents may be looking for proof that there is something going on, looking for signs, when in reality, a lot of athletes can still perform relatively well, even as their eating disorder gets pretty serious. But eventually, we will start to see some physical signs, right? And some performance deficits. So those might include running speed decreasing, glycogen depletion, so fatigue, definitely feeling like they're hitting a wall, muscle weakness, injury, dehydration. There's a lot of different things that can begin to stack up as an eating disorder gets a little bit more entrenched. But a lot of times our athletes that begin developing an eating disorder perform just as well as they always have until things get a little more serious. And that's why we may not always catch them as quickly as we'd like. So just something to think about.
And Doctor, you touched on this a bit in your first answer, but why do athletes develop these eating disorders?
Athletes are like everybody else. I mean, they exist in a culture where there can be a lot of emphasis on body shape and size. They are also influenced by other factors, just like everyone, biological factors like heredity and temperament that influence kind of development of mental health disorders. And they're also in maybe a different culture in a way too, of performance culture, where there's maybe a lot of pressure to perform at a certain level. And sometimes performance can be connected to, for certainly how your body operates and certainly and sometimes how your body looks. And then I think that can create pressure for athletes to perform at these really high levels. There's lots of pressure from self, for sure, but pressure from coaches, from fans, from depending on the sport, the level, you know, alumni and people that can put athletes up on a pedestal and expect perfection from them.
So looking at athletes across the board, Brittany, who are the highest risk for eating disorders?
That's a great question. I think that understanding who our higher risk group definitely helps us to identify athletes a little quicker. But I also always love to stress to parents and coaches, we don't want to make the mistake of only paying attention to these things in our high risk athletes and potentially missing others. But to start, we definitely do want to be a little bit more attentive to the behaviors of any athletes in weight class or aesthetic sports. So meaning sports where they're required to weigh a certain amount, such as wrestling to compete, or aesthetic sports like gymnastics, equestrian, all those. Endurance sports also tend to be pretty high risk. And then I always add another category, even though not everyone will. I always say our adolescent athletes are at a higher risk too, right? They're going through a lot more body changes than, say, an established collegiate or adult athlete. They're probably a lot more influenced by social media, a little less sure of themselves right at that age. They definitely are another group to pay attention to.
Yeah, especially with those adolescent athletes, Dr. McGarahan, what are some signs of eating disorders in athletes?
The ones that might stand out are when, you know, athletes have a drastic change in what their meal plan is, what their diet is, and that might stand out in terms of weight loss. But that's not always the case either. You know, certainly that's the case with anorexia, that you can see weight loss and significant weight loss. And with bulimia, for example, you may not see weight loss at all. So you may see other things that come up. You know, you may see a person that begins to isolate themselves more from teammates, from classmates. You may see a person that's seemingly more focused on food and what they ate or what they're going to eat than bonding with the team. Or maybe they can't go and bond with the team because the team is going to go and have pizza after the game. And the person with the eating disorder says, no, you know, I'm going to eat something at home. So if you start to see people regularly bowing out of opportunities to socialize where it involves food, that sometimes can be a red flag for adolescents. Also, you have, you know, other kind of problems that go with eating disorders, like depression and anxiety, that show up as far as kids withdrawing from things or isolating themselves or losing interest in things. And sometimes that includes losing interest in the sport. You know, maybe I don't want to go to practice anymore, or maybe I don't have the energy to go to practice like I used to. So maybe I don't participate. And sometimes people end up leaving the sport because they physically may not be able to compete at the level they wanted to, or maybe the eating disorder has just taken over a lot of their thoughts and they can't really focus on much else besides that.
Brittany, how can parents help prevent eating disorders in their young athletes if they're maybe seeing some of these signs?
I think that parents have a really, really great opportunity to set their children up well in terms of some of the protective measures. Sometimes it feels counterintuitive coming from a dietitian, but we talk to parents a lot here about making sure not to talk to athletes, especially young ones, too much about food, and then definitely not about dieting or about their weight. Because of the wellness culture that's very popular right now, it's not uncommon to have parents or peers or coaches or even, you know, teachers, other adults around them just talking about, oh, that diet I tried, or this option that's healthier than that option. But keeping a lot of that messaging away, especially from our younger athletes, is going to benefit them long term. So really that neutral look at food, that neutral look at weight too, which can be very hard for people, keeping a variety of food options around, but not putting one option on a pedestal and talking poorly about the others. And then definitely making an effort, if you can, to get to know what your athlete's team and coaching dynamic is like. And if you suspect any negative influences there on body image or weight pressure, or people on that team or that coaching staff making comments about the athletes needing to appear a certain way, or, you know, weigh or eat the same as the best player on the team, like being very aware of where else they might be getting that pressure and trying to help neutralize it for them. Those are some of the best things they can do.
And doctor, as we wrap up here, what should someone do, maybe a teammate, a coach, even a parent, what should someone do if they think an athlete may have an eating disorder and they want to help?
Well, I think certainly voicing your concern directly to that person is a place to start. It doesn't mean that that person is going to be receptive to the concern, but I think that's what we do with the people we care about. We honestly say, hey, I'm worried about this. I've observed this. And don't do it in an accusatory or blaming way. Don't come out and say, I think you have an eating disorder. It might be more of, I've sat with you at lunch for the last 4 weeks and I haven't seen you eat anything. And that worries me because you play basketball and we practice hard every day, and I wonder how you get enough nourishment. So just expressing concern about what your observations are, maybe, and seeing what the person says. My experience a lot of times with kids with eating disorders has been they can be pretty secretive and there can be a lot of shame. And so they keep these things to themselves a lot. So they may not be receptive to what a friend or a loved one has to say. If the friend has approached that and not gotten much of a response, continues to be concerned, you know, they sometimes kids are in that tough spot of like, should I say something to an adult that could maybe get my friend some more help? And sometimes kids feel a loyalty issue with that. Like, I shouldn't say that. My friend may be mad if I tell the counselor at school or the coach. But sometimes you may have to do that because there may be some other help that's needed that a friend's kind support and care that may not be enough to actually get the person some help that they need.
Well, thanks to both of you for your time and for this information. And thank you, of course, for listening to this episode of Children's Health Checkup. You can find more information at childrens.com/sportsperformance. I'm your host, Caitlin White. Stay well.